two short gospel passages this evening, and the first is from Luke 10. They're both really well-known passages. This is the story of Martha and Mary and Jesus' visit to their home, and it's on page 1042 in the Pew Bibles, and it's already on the screen behind me. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Amen. It's found on, if you wish to find it there. Somebody's at some point spilt water on this particular copy of the Bible, and there's been an accident with the water in the pulpit, and the pages have all stuck together. I do apologise. It's Matthew 11, anyway, and it's on page 977. Matthew 11 on page 977. Matthew 11, verses 25 to 30. "At that time Jesus said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do.'" Sorry, Mark, had you got the message up? Well, put it back, I'll read that. "Abruptly, Jesus broke into prayer. 'Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You've concealed your ways from sophisticates and know-it-alls, but spelled them out clearly to ordinary people. Yes, Father, that's the way you like to work.' Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly, 'The Father has given me all these things to do and say.' This is a unique Father-Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen." Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Amen. We're going to watch a video of a song that reflects on we started thinking about blockages to grace last week, and I was thinking about, especially about how we can block God's grace to other people if we're not very careful. Whereas actually God's intention is that we should carry his grace to other people and be bearers of the message of grace. Now, I know that the experienced among you, and most of you are more experienced than I am, you will be expecting a sermon on sin in this series if we're talking about blockages to grace. Don't worry, that comes next week. And in a sense, we can argue that when I've got to the end of what I want to say this evening, and I'm not going to speak for very long this evening, that you could say that the attitudes that lead to the behaviour I'm going to talk about are indeed sins. Because Paul defines sin in his letter to the Romans as falling short of the glory of God. He doesn't say it's theft. He doesn't say it's adultery. He doesn't say it's homosexuality. He doesn't say it's jealousy. He doesn't say it's coveting. Well, he does in another place, but in that particular context, he said, the wages of sin is death, and sin is falling short of the glory of God. Falling short of what God wants for us. And the simple truth is that half our problem, well, at least this is my experience, and I'm sure because you're saints it won't be yours, but my experience is that the biggest blockage to grace is just not spending enough time in God's presence to receive it. If there's any reason why God's people lack a real understanding of God's grace, a real sense of the purpose of his grace, a real sense of the need of our fellow humans who do not know Jesus, it's because we ourselves are not living in the ocean of grace available to us to keep us afloat in our life for God. That story we heard at the beginning, the first of the two passages, the story of Mary and Martha and Jesus. One working hard to make sure everything was done, to honor the guest. The other just spending time with the guest. And it was the one who spent the time with the guest that Jesus commended. Very interesting how the Holy Spirit guided Luke to put this story between the parable of the Good Samaritan and the giving of the Lord's Prayer to the disciples. In other words, saying, yes, following me is about action. Following me is about seeing need. Following me is about putting yourself out to make sure that need is met. But following me is also about spending time with me, sitting at my feet, talking with me. Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. If we want to know grace in our lives, then we have to stop carrying our burdens. Isn't it interesting, that little passage, you are worried and upset about many things. In other words, Jesus is almost saying, I think, you're getting on, you're doing all that work, and it's all, you're avoiding the fact there are all sorts of other things going on that you need sorting out. That's only going to happen if you spend time with me. So put it down. Put the dishcloth down. Put the tea towel down. Put that blessed plate down and just come and spend time with me. Of course, we never know what Martha did. We don't know how she responded. Like so many of the stories about Jesus, we are left not knowing the end, but that's not the important thing. Is the important thing is what Jesus has said. And it just seems to me that this ties up so closely with that passage in Matthew. In the more traditional version, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Or in the version from the Message, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion, come to me. What does that burned out on religion mean? It just means tired out from trying to earn what I want to give you freely. And for all that we know, Brent was talking this morning, wasn't he, about the things that we know, the things that we've learned, but the distance sometimes between what we know and what we do and the way we live and the way we exercise our belief and you know, that gap which shouldn't be there at all has grown. And we can easily get that into that mindset. Oh, I've not done my Bible study today. What is going to happen? Will lightning strike me as soon as I walk out of the door? And I want to reassure you by saying, probably not. Because our God is a God of grace. He says, come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you learn to live freely and lightly. I don't think there's anything quite like sitting close to the sea with one's eyes closed and hearing the wave just slowly brushing the... I mean, I'm not talking about December at Tynemouth. I'm talking about a nice day when the sea is relatively calm and you just hear that constant rhythm. And it's like the rhythm of grace. If you want to feel another rhythm of grace, put your hand over your heart and feel your pulse, which you can do nothing about whatsoever. Well, you can injure it, you can do all sorts, but you know what I mean? Your heart beats and carries on beating and gives you life. To me, it's an evidence of God's grace, and it's what God wants to be with us in our walk with Him. So I think there are four things that we particularly need to take to heart if we're going to avoid this kind of blockage to grace that comes from just resisting what God wants to give us and what God wants to do in us. And the first is simply this. We do need regular time with the Lord. We do need to come into His presence. We do need that. But I'm not really talking here about what we do. Yeah, it's great to have a daily time when we open the scripture and we read the scripture and we learn from the scripture. We might read some notes that help us to understand it more. And we pray. We talk to God. We share with Him what's on our heart and our minds. He longs for us to do that. But there's something else, which is we need to learn to shut up and listen. We need not just to read and study the scripture, but we need to let it to speak to us, and we also need to just rest in the presence of God to let Him speak to us. For Him to say to us, I've got you. I'm holding you. Again, as Brent reminded us this morning, I'm the big one here, not you. I've got you in the palm of my hands. I'm not going to let you go. This is my grace for you. It's the place of renewal. And we need to come to that place. And we need to take time to do it. We need to daily take hold of the gospel. Not to proclaim it to other people. That may be God's calling for our lives, to share the faith. But we need daily to take hold of the gospel for ourselves. I need daily to say to God, yes, I get it wrong. Yes, I got it wrong yesterday. Yes, I said that to so and so and I shouldn't have said it. Yes, I misunderstood and I now need to find out exactly what it was that that person was trying to share to me. Yes, I jumped to a conclusion. Yes, I really shouldn't have looked like that at that driver who just cut me up. But we come to God and we say, Lord, we recognize our need of you. So we come to the cross and we just receive again from the cross all that you've already given me. And I just want to assert my faith in what Jesus has done. Help me to understand that I can't do anything to make your forgiveness for me happen. He's done it, and I need to receive it. Daily we need to remember God's grace towards us and take hold of it. And daily we need to make the living sacrifice. The living sacrifice of a life laid down for Him. Romans 12, Paul says, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Having recognized the necessity of the gospel for our lives, if we are to live the life of the saved people of God, the next step is to say, thank you for giving this to me. Now I give it back to you so that you can use it, Lord. Show me how to live for you. We daily need to make that living sacrifice. And fourthly, We need to take hold of God's promises, our belief in His sovereignty, that He is God, and He has all things in His hands, and He will ultimately do what He plans to do. And we need to recognize that we are held in His love and live our lives in that faith. Living out what we receive in the unforced rhythms of grace. St. Anselm wrote this prayer. And after this, we're going to listen to another song on that thought of the unforced rhythm of God's grace, this time by Godfrey Birtle. Godfrey Birtle is not as polished as many Christian singers. He's a prophetic singer, but the songs are powerful. Just look at the words. But St. Anselm says, "Teach me to seek you and reveal yourself to me as I seek. For unless you instruct me, I cannot seek you. And unless you reveal yourself, I cannot find you. Let me seek you in desiring you. Let me desire you in seeking you. Let me find you in loving you. Let me love you in finding you." Thank you, Mark.